Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good morning, Scott. Great to be on News Talk 1620. And sorry to be a little late this morning. I was knee-deep in an RSC budget task force meeting. We're talking about tax reform.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and start there because also when it comes to the RSC, Michael McCaul apparently is going to pitch his border bill to the Republican Study Committee next week. What can you tell us about that from what you know?
Well, I don't know much. I know that when it got pulled off the floor calendar a couple of weeks ago, they wanted to go back and start working on it some more. And so I really don't know what he's done since then. But we had a series of member listening sessions, and we've gotten greater member input in this. And I'll tell you, my past history here tells me that the more often you can get broader member input, the better bills you get. A couple of examples of that are when we dealt with the president's DACA behavior and the unaccompanied minors last August, and then early this year when we took care of the president's amnesty action. Because we had broad member input and we had better bills.
You know, one of the things that I had noticed, one of the points that they had mentioned is that that what he is going to really try to do is get the Department of Homeland Security to achieve basically operational control, which I guess has to do with when the illegals actually are getting in, to stop them right there at the boundary.
Right, exactly.
Now, is that...
To make sure they don't come across the border to start with. If they don't come across the border, then we don't have to deal with them.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing, there are 14 co-sponsors. Are you one of the co-sponsors in this?
I don't believe I was.
Okay.
But again, I was trying to wait till the final bill got settled out before we, I like to see what's at least in the bill before we jump on the co-sponsor one.
It's fair to say, though, that you have to be a little bit optimistic in that he's willing to bring something to the Republican Study Committee to look at.
Oh, yeah, I am. And I'll tell you, I think Michael has done a really good job on this, and he's trying to get the right kind of input. But we did face another challenge, too, and that is that while the Senate is grappling with the House's Department of Homeland Security funding bill that dealt with the president's illegal amnesty order, some people felt like if we put border security on the floor before the Senate dealt with the bill, then we're giving the Senate a way out to not have to deal with it. And then they pass a clean DHS bill, meaning not dealing with amnesty, and saying, hey, we'll get this border security bill that'll clean us up from an immigration perspective. And that was one of the reasons the border security bill got pulled out, is that we didn't want to give the Senate sort of a backstop to not do its job on the DHS bill.
Sure. Bill Flores joining us from D.C. this morning. The Hill is reporting the White House is going to ask Congress to approve military action against ISIS militants in Syria and Iraq that bans, what their words are, enduring offensive ground operations. Now, I know John McCain questioned that yesterday, and I know that they briefed some members of Congress. Have you got any thoughts as you hear the phrase enduring offensive ground operations?
Well, it's another one of those goofy phrases where the president doesn't, where he tries to twist things up. For instance, if you look at the Global War on Terror, he's changed the name of it to Overseas Contingency Operation. Mm-hmm. So instead of GWAT, it's now called OCO. I don't know why he did that, but I think that he's more involved in politics and appearance than he is on trying to beat the snot out of the Islamic State. And to me, what we ought to do is destroy the Islamic State, and we should not take any option off the table to do that. And so we're going to have a pretty vigorous debate here when the president asks for this authorization for a uniform military force, or AUMF. Our authorization to use military force, we're going to have a vigorous discussion about what does this thing look like, and how do you've got a president who's messed up almost every foreign policy thing he's touched in the last 6 years, and so what do we as Congress do not to interfere with his Article II powers under the Constitution, but still to make sure that we go win this thing? He's sort of in it to degrade and cause problems. We want to destroy him.
Now, Ted Cruz who at least vocalized it last week, I think, or last Sunday. He was saying, for instance, arm the Kurds. How do you feel about the idea of us merely sending materiel rather than putting our boots on the ground, let it be their boots on the ground?
Well, to me, this whole fight, I think, needs to have a Middle Eastern face to it. When I met with King Abdullah last November in Jordan, I thought his comments about this were pretty smart and pretty thoughtful. And he said, You know, we in the Middle East, we as the Jordanians and the Egyptians and so forth, need to be leading the charge on this. The Qataris and the folks in the UAE, we need to lead this thing because it's our regional problem. But at the same time, we need to have the resources from a broader coalition of Western nations. I agree with that, but that doesn't tell me that we totally remove the authority to use U.S. boots on the ground, because, you know, I hope we never need that, but I don't want to take that off the table because the enemy will know that. I want the enemy to think that we will come over there and use every resource we have to destroy them.
Yeah.
And to me, that's just good strategy. And, the president doesn't seem to like to use good strategy because he unilaterally takes things off the table. Well, you know, our enemies pay attention to that.
Mm-hmm. Bill Flores joining us from D.C. Let's shift to committee work for just a minute. You're on Energy and Commerce Committee, and this week you're looking at the Department of Energy budget. You know, we haven't heard a lot about the Department of Energy necessarily rising to the top in the news. As you're looking at their budget, are there any things that are popping out to you?
Well, they still have some of the cylinders, stimulus-type programs left over. We're still trying to put knives through the hearts of those things, to stop wasting taxpayer money and give money to the president's political supporters and to his cronies. So those are things we're going to be looking at. We also need to look at the effectiveness of some of the programs that they've been engaged in. To me, the Department of Energy, I think, should focus on two primary missions. One is keeping our nuclear stockpile safe. And then secondly, using funds for basic research, the research like we do at A&M and the University of Texas, which is groundbreaking. Because to me, that's where we come up with the tools that allow us to be an energy secure country. We don't get it by feeding a bunch of money to bureaucrats and cubicles that make life difficult on the rest of us.
On face, I saw yesterday that there's a company out in West Texas that wants to put together a pretty large storage facility for nuclear waste, low-grade nuclear waste. As a member of Congress in the Texas delegation, what are your thoughts about storage of that in Texas?
I think it's a good idea because Harry Reid has blocked Yucca Mountain. You know, the law says that Yucca Mountain should have been open by now for at least a decade, I think, and should have been taking the nuclear waste that's currently sitting in these nuclear power plants around the country and putting them away for a long period of time. This facility in West Texas is sort of an interim measure that allows us to get all the waste away from the nuclear power plants where it's distributed. It's more vulnerable. Put it in a more secure location that's environmentally protected, or that provides good environmental safeguards, rather, and then let the Department of Energy have title of that and own it and be responsible for it, and I think would be a lot safer than we are today. And then still the ultimate goal is to get this stuff in the Yucca Mountain, but at least we get it one spot where we know where it is and who's got control of it.
Bill Flores joins us on Wednesdays. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website. Sorry I had to take you out of the meeting, but I appreciate you taking the time, especially today, to be able to be with us today.
Well, I'm glad you called again. I'm sorry I didn't call in at the proper time. I'd ask everybody to continue praying for our military men and women, our first responders in our country, and also a special request. I lost a good friend, Alan Lindley from Mississippi, who died last Friday, and he represented Mississippi's 1st District.
Mm-hmm.
He came in with me in 2010 and was just a great public servant, so I think we in this country and the folks in the state of Mississippi are really going to miss him.
Certainly. Thanks a lot.